Thanks for downloading the free feed of Sunday Night's Main Event. If you'd like the entire show commercial-free, please sign up to our Patreon at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
It is 2020 and we're about to review an In Your House pay-per-view. Hello everyone and welcome to Sunday Night's Main Event, coming at you live tonight on TSN Radio, and we are on the air so early. I think this is the earliest that Sunday Night's Main Event, or for that matter, The Law, has ever been on the air, and maybe WWE has finally got the hint. Less is more. Happy to have all of you along tonight. It is going to be a fun one. And let's face it, since it is an NXT In Your House pay-per-view with the TakeOver brand, my co-host for tonight's program is going to be my old What's Next partner, Bartender Dave. It is NXT time, friends. Dave and I will run down, recap, and give you our thoughts about tonight's pay-per-view. Then we'll check in with Dave Meltzer, have a birthday edition of Turnbuckle Trivia, and your phone calls of the utmost importance tonight. Listen, you can't even say you're sleepy. Not only was it an entertaining pay-per-view, but it's so early. It's 9:30 Eastern. 1-866-729-2562. That is 1-866-729-2562. Make those lines ring and get on the air with us tonight. And everyone should be awake. We're going to take a break and be back with the bartender. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event and doing so on TSN Radio.
Hey there, I'm Morty Jenkinson. When I'm not coaching the offspring in soccer, baseball, or wrestling, cutting the lawn, or playing taxi, it's shirts off, Crocs on, slather on the SPF 100, fire up the barbecue, and crank up the Bob Seger, while lounging in the kiddie pool, of course. Ryan Reynolds wishes he was me. Over my dad body pilsner from Great Lakes Brewery, now available at your local LCBO.
Charlotte Flair said she wants to elevate her opponents. Well, she's been forced to elevate her game here.
Figure four.
Can she turn it into a figure eight?
Ripley's legs so long, so strong. It's very challenging to get into this position.
Oh, man, Charlotte Flair looking to make it two in a row against Rhea Ripley. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Oh!
Yes, indeed. That was the main event of tonight's NXT TakeOver In Your House pay-per-view. Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. Jason Agnew here with you. A very, very early start to the show tonight because WWE may have figured out less is more. It's an NXT show tonight. It finishes up, starts at 7, finishes up around 9:30, just before we're already on the air. You can load up the phone lines right now at 1-866-729-2562. But before we go to your phone calls, it is an NXT show, and that means my partner for these shows, normally on Saturday nights for takeovers, is Bartender Dave, and he joins me right now. Hello, Bartender.
Hooray! Thanks for having me back, Jason, and what a show we got to watch this evening. But, you know, the biggest takeaway that I got from TakeOver In Your House for me was from the pre-show, and I give credit to Sam Roberts for showing me and everybody else that not all men can pull off beards.
Well, I mean, I have one going on myself, as do
and it
you
looks
right
great.
Now. No, mine is just horrendous. I really do think it's something that's going on in the midst of all this COVID thing where people have just stopped caring about their appearance. I know I haven't. Working in radio, I mean, it's not like we're doing a live Zoom call right now. We don't see each other. We're just talking and no one can see us. And that's probably for the best.
Amen to that.
Dave, we played the clip there with Charlotte relinquishing the NXT title and it going on to Io Shirai. I kind of thought midway through this, we were messaging back and forth, that perhaps we would see Rhea Ripley come back with the title, being in the main event, maybe getting her previous glory back. But instead, they put it on Io Shirai. Regardless, I think the right move was taking it off Charlotte Flair.
I totally see what you're saying there, because we discussed this earlier on or last week about that. And I wanted to see Charlotte continue on. But this match just had something different to me. I don't know if you want to get into it right now, but it just seemed like they were pumping the crowd to start chanting Io. I had never heard that before. And now all of a sudden, everybody's chanting for Io. And now Io is a big face and new champ. It just caught me off guard.
Yeah, well, you know, I think I've talked about this on the Midweek Markout with Mark, where Mark pointed out that now Vince McMahon has finally got control of the crowd. He is able to dictate exactly what the crowd says at every opportunity. So he's getting what he wants. All right, well, we'll get there. That was the main event tonight. Notice, that was the main event and not the NXT Men's Championship as your main. But we will get there. So it's an in-your-house show tonight. I mean, Dave, what did you think of the actual branding here and going back to the in-your-house? Because to me, you know, aside from maybe the Stampede, I was in a bit of a dark period of wrestling during the in-your-house days and never really bought in and don't have many memories of it.
Yeah, I have memories of pretty much all of them because I had one of those cheater boxes. Don't tell my cable company, but you know, like, so I got to watch all of them. But like you said, the Canadian Stampede is the big standout for me. I love that one.
Yeah, and it was mentioned tonight. Mauro went out of his way to, throw that one out there. So it's the In Your House branding, and they do a couple things, like bringing back Todd Pettengale to start off the preview show and then start off the actual show. Really, the preview show was nothing. But it was fun. I mean, they start with the cool NXT opening for over 5.5 years. The revolutionary force in sports entertainment. I mean, that was funny. Pettengale starting. It's funny to bring him back. They tease giving the house like they did on the old ones. That's funny too. And then immediately to me, all of this goodwill that they built up with me over, like, oh, funny, Code Orange.
Yeah. Whoa. And this was just something, like, it was atrocious to me, because if you're going to lip sync, make sure that both singers know when both are not supposed to be singing, because it just looks total like garbage. Like, you had the one guy singing, you couldn't hear his voice. So obviously you're lip syncing. Come on, add to this, you know, but that's just me.
Well, I mean, I kind of tuned out. I just felt as though this is not the evolution of In Your House that I wanted, but I got it anyway. So a 6-woman tag match to kick things off tonight. Shotzi Blackheart, Tegan Nox, and Mia Yim on one side versus Raquel Gonzalez, Dakota Kai, and Candice LeRae on the other side. Hey, Candice LeRae comes out wearing the fairy wings. This, to me, was like an evil Alexa Bliss that she's now playing. She could be like Alexa's older sister.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Do you think that, is she older than Alexa Bliss?
I think everyone's older than Alexa Bliss.
Well, not Rhea Ripley. She's only 23.
I think that might be the same age, no? I'm not 100% sure how old Alexa is, but you're right. Rhea's super young as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But, like, I love this new Candice LeRae. And I was a hater on both of these people so long.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Did I ever enjoy this show?
Okay. Well, I mean, it started off. To me, this match did seem a little bit sloppy. They got confused here and there. In particular, there was an exchange in the middle of the ring with Tegan and Dakota that seemed like a bit of a screw-up. And Shotzi throwing herself to the outside. Listen, it's good that Raquel can catch and do so well. Because let's say if this had been Nia Jax, then I think Shotzi would be on her head right now.
Yeah, for sure. Are you buying into this Shotzi Blackheart character?
I am not. I think that there is an ability to do something with her. She just seems so... I don't feel as though she's authentic, and even though I think the character might be her own creation, it's now being molded by WWE, and it comes across pretty fake.
Now this is fantastic that you said that, because I was thinking the exact same thing. I feel like she's playing the part, and like you know, the new girl at school in high school that adopts a punk to seem like she's a bad girl. I just don't buy that she believes in this character. It goes back to the whole the werewolf girl. What was her name? Is she still wrestling still?
Oh, Ember Moon. Ember Moon has an Achilles tendon injury that is actually career threatening. I don't know if it's similar to what Edge went through. I mean, the good news with Edge is Edge managed to come back from it, but it is a bad one. And the sad thing about it is she got that injury when she was running around for the 24/7 title like a ding dong.
Oh my gosh, that's terrible.
Yeah. So, I mean, in this match, you get all the women taking turns jumping off the apron or ropes onto one another, but everyone does play catch very well. Moro refers to Candace as the poison pixie. More of an evil Alexa Bliss type thing going on here.
Yes.
They really do play up Raquel Gonzalez as the giant in this women's division. She continually is playing the base in the match, catching the other women, doing a fine job of it. Raquel powerbombs Tegan. I'm not sure Tegan kicked out in this scenario. It seemed like that even the ref might have thought that was the finish. At the end here, we have Dakota Kai accidentally kicking Gonzalez. Blackheart and Knox double team Gonzalez to remove her from the ring because, once again, it takes two to knock out the giant. And then Knox hits the shiniest wizard, and we get the win.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen this, the end of this match before with her coming out, Tegan coming out, pinning Dakota. Mm-hmm. And I have a problem, and I think you'll understand this. I have a problem with six person tag matches because it's really up to the editor that's controlling everything, because you always have a chance of somebody breaking up some outside interference because there's so many eyes on the action, like of all six women.
Right.
And I've just found that there's way too many points where I saw like Tegan standing, watching, waiting for her spot, that kind of stuff. And it kind of killed the allure of it for me. But like the match, they worked hard. It was enjoyable. It was just those little things that kind of irked me, if you will.
There was a lot going on. There was a lot of action. I'll give him a pass on it.
I love that. Tegan's love for Kane is so adorable.
That's
I love that. Whoever says Kane is my favorite wrestler, I don't think I've ever heard anybody
say that. Lawler continually says Kane is my favorite wrestler. Yes, Lawler loves Kane.
Like, and that's great because like he's such a workhorse and he's been there the whole time, and to have somebody show love for him, you never see that. I think it's adorable, if you can use adorable when talking about wrestling.
Promotional consideration provided by the following. I love this first one because William Regal was totally doing a Lord Alfred Hayes impersonation.
Yeah. Oh, that's who that was.
Yes, it was William. I listened to it because I'm like, did they just rip like Lord Alfred Hayes? But no, it did. It was William Regal doing Lord Alfred Hayes. And that's from what I can gather. I believe that is it. To me, that's what it sounded like.
That one was for the ice cream sandwiches, correct?
I think so. Yeah, they doubled up on that for some reason.
And did you notice that we got a Roman Reigns sighting in that?
No, I didn't pay attention to that.
Yeah, he was on one of the sandwiches.
Okay. That's as close as you're going to get to seeing Roman. Damian Priest versus Finn Balor was the second match of the night. Now, you told me repeatedly that this match was going to steal the show. Do you still feel that same way after seeing it?
I don't know if it stole the show, but I think it did what it was supposed to. I called a different outcome. I thought that Damian Priest should go over to stay strong, but I think that everything that was done in this match was done so well, and it put Damian Priest over as a contender, but also kept Finn Balor in the top. And I'm really liking this character that they have for Finn Balor right now, because they're kind of just keeping him in NXT, because you're not having that many eyes on NXT as you would on Raw and SmackDown, but it's still coming up. So when he makes his comeback, I think he's going to be refreshed and he's going to be a major player again.
All right. Well, for this particular match, Priest gives Balor a razor's edge on the apron. Did he do it? He did it a couple times, didn't he?
Yeah, I believe so.
And then Priest gives Balor a rock bottom off the top rope, kind of falls on his back, though. It comes down to Balor Balor then knocks him out, and Priest takes a nasty bump, and Balor then hits a coup de grace. He has to do it twice. So, I mean, you do have Priest kind of staying strong as far as the finish needed to be done twice on him.
Yeah, and I give what was his last name? Tom Phillips, give him credit for that, because he said that Balor gave him the respect of hitting him twice. And I thought that was a great line. Like, there's so many things in this match that apart from the action that I just loved, like just, I think I love Priest because he sounds like low-key. Remember low-key? He sounds like low-key, but he's got the body that deserves that voice because he's got that deep, dark voice. And he's like a New York-born Puerto Rican. So how can you not love this guy? He's amazing.
I'm not a huge fan. He hasn't got me yet. Also, I find this at the end. Did you see what they were doing? They cut away from it, but Finn was doing his gun-pointing thing and then you had Priest doing the archer thing while he's laid out in the corner and they were shooting at one another. Did you notice this? Super cheesy. Super cheesy. Hey.
Oh, come on. It's in your house. It's got to be cheesy.
Oh, you are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. It's myself, Jason Agnew, on early tonight. My co-host, Bartender Dave. We're reviewing the NXT TakeOver In Your House show that WWE decided to go along with the less is more philosophy. And hey, credit where credit is due. I feel great. It's only 9:48 p.m. and we're on the air talking about it. There's more promotional consideration. Adam Cole, that is, promos IcoPro. Great. I'm good with that. It's so nice. It's just really nice when they don't take themselves too seriously, right?
Yeah, completely. And they had the perfect chance to do that, to take shots at themselves, because you've got such an early 90s feel to it. So why not just go all in with it? It's going to be fun. I can't say all in with WWE.
Yeah, not with that. The NXT North American title is next. It's Keith Lee versus Johnny Gargano. Gargano has a weird entrance here. He looks at a photo of Doc Hendricks on the wall. He turns the thermostat down to 69 degrees, kind of nods, comes out. He locks the door using the key that he shoved into Keith Lee's eye this past week. Gargano tries to attack the injured eye of Keith Lee over and over, and that is the key to the match, shall we say.
Listen, what you did there.
John Moxley gets hit in the eye with keys. He sells it for months. He wears an eye patch. Keith Lee gets hit last week. He gets hit twice in this match, and Keith Lee has the most durable eyes I've ever seen.
It's true.
It's too much.
Yeah, but come on. Keith Lee was fantastic in this match. Like, his facial sold everything. I don't think I have ever seen since The Rock somebody that has, or a superstar, if you will, that has such fantastic facials. Like, he sold a complete and total story just with his face, other than his eye.
I guess so. I don't know, man. I got lost in this match, especially someone who has eye problems. You and me are both kind of blind in our left eye. And yes, I'm pretty sensitive to eye stuff. I'm just like, I don't know. I mean, they did some fun stuff here. They did playing with the set. They had Gargano trying to escape, going to the door. We got some of this match shot through the doorbell camera.
It was great.
It was kind of fun.
There's a big entranceway right beside him, and he's trying to get through the door. That was fantastic stuff.
Lee also seems to have injured his hand, and we have that come into play during the match. There's a weird Johnny Sucks chant and then a Keith chant. It's strange to get these chants because they just feel so controlled. And I guess if you're a fan that's not thinking about who is in the crowd, then the chants make sense to you because they're supposed to feel like we used to get.
Yeah, exactly. And that hits upon a point that I really wanted to make, because I'm getting used to the NXT talent. Like, they're using the lesser known NXT talent, so it's, you don't really know everybody in the crowd. So it kind of gives that feel to it. And you said the chants. I love the Johnny Sucks chant to the Emperor's Walk from Star Wars. That was fantastic. And then the John Cena Sucks chant Johnny Gargano Sucks. I thought that was great. It was just fun. It was so much fun.
But you know, the highlight of this match was the Keith Lee body check to Johnny Gargano that they didn't wait, Dave. I mean, we knew when the plexiglass went up that someone was eventually going through that plexiglass. And sure as anything, it happened to be Johnny Gargano. And Keith Lee has done this before, because he was the one who put Adam Cole into the crowd, wasn't he? He just sent him soaring that one time. Like, I do like this aspect. If you set this spot up well, it looks fantastic. You put guys in the audience that are going to catch, and it's a fun, non-dangerous spot to send a man into orbit.
Oh my God, yeah. And using something like the pounce too, because like I miss the alpha male every single day. I loved Monty
Brown.
So seeing him hit that, and oh geez, I loved it. It was so good.
All right. Well, the way this plays on out is it was right after that plexiglass spot. Lee then picks up Gargano to toss him into the ring. Candace shows up. So does Mia. Lee then takes the key out of his tights, really deep in his tights, by the way. Like, you know, this key had to be super sweaty, which should have polluted the eye even more. Gargano.
Pink eye.
Yeah, Gargano continually kicks Lee and then tries for the pin. He does this four times after hitting Lee in the eye, and Keith Lee ends up hitting the Big Bang Catastrophe Powerbomb and pinning Gargano. His eye recovers really fast. He still has the title. Is this the right call here?
I would say no. I would have put Johnny Gargano over because I think that his character is really catching on. I don't know how I would have gone differently. Like, it worked. The match worked. I would have liked to seen Johnny Gargano go over, but there was just so much in this match that I really liked. That third kick of the four looked so sick. It was just so beautiful. And I didn't like how Mia Yim showed up in sweatpants. That kind of irked me.
That's like, just how she hangs out, Dave. She was... I prefer that, Dave. I prefer that over her still being in her ring gear.
Okay, but no one should be wearing sweatpants in public.
Everybody wears sweatpants nowadays. It's COVID times. Between my beard and sweatpants are the two things that are dependable in the world of COVID. Beards for men, sweatpants for women. Let's face it, I'm in sweatpants too.
Okay, fair enough. So am I.
All right. Again, promotional consideration. This time it was the Good Humor Cookie Sandwich. And then we move on to the Back Lot Brawl. It's Adam Cole, your champion, versus the Velveteen Dream. The stip here is not only is it a backlot brawl, but if Dream does not win, he cannot get a shot while Cole is champion. It's outside. Clearly, the lot is at Full Sail. We've seen this before when they've been shooting vignettes. There's a ring in the middle. It's lit by a bunch of car headlights sitting around the ring. Adam Cole pulls up in a big pickup truck. You know, Velveteen Dream pulls up in this yellow sports car, and someone posted up what type of sports car it was. But all I could think, David, was today, yes, being Velveteen Dream, being the gimmick that he is and who he has based his entire gimmick on,
yep,
it's that person's birthday today. Should he not have pulled up in a little red Corvette in honor of Prince? It's Prince's birthday today.
You got to be kidding me. You got to take that chance. You got to do that. They must not have realized that.
No, probably not.
That just makes so much sense.
Probably not. It was just a nice little touch. The only reason I knew it was Prince's birthday is because I did that trivia this morning. Anyhow.
Oh, okay.
Dave, reminded me of John Cena, Eddie Guerrero in the parking lot brawl of 2003, but they didn't have a ring for that when they did for this.
Yeah, I don't even remember that one.
No? Okay. Immediately was what I got out of it. I found that they immediately made this into a joke. Like, a woman pulls up in a van and asks if anyone called for an Uber.
Yes, that was fantastic. No, come on, you got to love this.
We have a very different take on things we like in wrestling nowadays, apparently. I don't know what COVID's done to you.
I was not sure about this. As soon as it started, I'm like, oh, is this going to be like a bad pre-recorded segment?
Yeah, yeah.
But as soon as Dream started regarding Adam Cole by his full name over and over again, every time he talked to him, Adam Cole, I was just like, that is fantastic. I love this already.
All right. We only got about 90 seconds here, so let's get through it. We got Dream is about to toss Cole off a ladder, then Strong and Fish show up, and the car is honking the horn. Cole still goes through the windshield of a car, cuts up his arm. Fish and Strong take out Velveteen. Fish and Strong then toss a whole bunch of chairs from the back of the truck into the ring. Dexter Loomis is under the ring. He crawls out. This is where I just wrote, this sucks. Dexter puts Bobby Fish and Roderick Strong in the trunk of a car and drives away. I wrote, this sucks, again on my notes. Dream gives Cole the purple Rainmaker elbow to the chairs. Cole still kicks out. But much like a Bond villain, Dream feels the need to talk to Adam Cole as he is about to finish him off. Cole low blows him. Panama Sunrise, pinfall. I did not care for this, but I do like the outcome. Adam Cole for sure needs to keep this title here.
Oh, for sure. You can't give it to Velveteen Dream. He's so cold right now. Yeah.
So it makes sense. I mean, but overall, I didn't really care for the execution of it. Listen, I think it might have been a bit better than... It was shorter than Edge and Orton, and I'll just leave it at that. shorter, and therefore better. But I didn't care for the Dexter Lumis stuff, and I didn't care for the Uber thing. And overall, I don't really care for Velveteen Dream because his character needs to evolve. What we have to do, though, Dave, is we have to take a break. We're going to do that. We're going to come on back. We're going to finish up our rundown. Right after the rundown, we're looking for your phone calls. Hey, I know we're on the air early, and that means you should be awake. 1-866-729-2562. It is Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio.
Bartender Dave here to let all of my bearded brethren know that we are bringing the High Street Beard Care products to North America. From the darkest reaches of South Africa comes the finest beard oils and grooming products known to man. The highstreetbeardoil.ca. To us, beards are not a trend. They are a way of life. We have four beard oil flavors, spicy, woody, citrus, and earthy. A revolutionary beard jelly that'll leave your beard silky smooth and ridiculously attractive. Beard fertilizers that'll help you grow the biggest and most beautiful beard you can imagine. Also beard paste, beard butter, and stash wax. All available at thehighstreetbeardoil.ca. Join us on the high street and spoil your mane.
Every era is meant to end. Baby! Do you hear it? That's the sound of your dream coming to an end. Or as I like to say, dream over.
Oh! Oh, wow! Adam Cole scrambling Velveteen Dream's eggs, and Adam Cole turning the tables in the nastiest of ways.
It's all within the rules of this Packlot Brawl.
That it is, and Cole with the Panama Sunrise on the steel chairs. Velveteen Dream's aspirations of becoming NXT champion are over.
Our house is a very, very, very fine house.
It was In Your House tonight, NXT TakeOver. Welcome back to Sunday night's main event on much earlier tonight because WWE cut out much earlier, so we do the after show. To those of you just finding us now, we're not done our rundown yet, but after the rundown, we'll be looking for your phone calls. If you like, if you're live, 1-866-729-2562. Now, Dave, we are confined by radio timelines this week, so I didn't let you really have your say in regards to what happened in that match, which is why I wanted to play that clip coming back. So it's Adam Cole. He's champion for 372 days and counting. This was not at the end of tonight's show. Do you think it was the right choice?
I would have to say yes, because it's kind of like a gimmick match, and you want something a bit stronger. Now, if they made the right choice, that's debatable. But I was fine with where it was. Velveteen Dream doesn't really have that drawing power right now, and he's not strong enough, I think, anyway, in my mind, to carry a main event. But I enjoyed the match, and the thing about this whole show is that Mauro Ranallo did not annoy me. He usually really, really annoys me. And he didn't annoy me until this match. And just some of his lines were driving me crazy. Like when he was saying that there was no crying in professional wrestling. And it's like, have you never seen a Big Show segment at all? Like this kind of stuff. And then hammering it home with when he's talking about Dexter Lumis, like another Dexter. Like, yeah, we understand.
Yeah, we get what that character is.
Yeah, but I did love the scrambled eggs line. I thought that was fantastic. Yeah. So he kind of won me back there.
All right. A bit of a back and forth. So Adam Cole, where does he go next? I mean, who's his next challenger, do you think?
I think they're building up Dexter Lumis for that one, wouldn't you think?
Oh, my goodness. I guess.
Because he's not going after the tag team belts. So obviously, or like a tag team, he doesn't have a partner. So he's probably just trying to get to Adam Cole. I think that would be the proper building block.
Dexter Lumis should be nowhere near a main event at any time, anywhere. I mean, maybe his program is Roderick Strong, but it should not be Adam Cole. No, but I mean, you know, you're right. I mean, he drew that picture because that's now how he is cutting promos. He drew that picture this week on NXT of him driving a car. And, like, does he want to be part of their group when they're not letting him? Or now he's just taking them out. He's trying to take them out one by one. Like, I really don't understand this character. Also, I really don't care for this character. There's not much of an evolution beyond what he was doing in Impact Wrestling years ago.
And now, see, that's weird that you came out of it wondering what's next for Adam Cole. The first thing I thought was, well, what does Velveteen Dream do now? Because, like, I can't even think of what you would do with that character unless you move him somewhere.
I would move him. I would move him off the brand. He has been a character that has desperately been craving a move to one of the other two brands for a long time. He needs a move, and he needs to think about what he's doing with this character and evolve it a little bit, because he has definitely not done that since it has began. Although tonight he did look a little bit different. He didn't look as outrageous tonight, and maybe that's what he's doing, pulling back and toning it down a little bit, whether that's good or bad. I guess we shall find out with what he goes forward to next. So after this match, David, we had an update from Todd Pettengale, who tells us the main event is next. That's wrong. This was put in the wrong spot. He's pushing T-shirts. He tries to throw to a 900 number. That's
that
kind of amusing.
So good.
Yeah. I didn't mind that. I didn't need to see DX being idiots in front of a computer. To me, those guys now, the three of them together, they're not funny. It's just
Not. It's well, we're approaching that age too. So it's just like no, you can't do that anymore. You just look like an idiot.
Karrion Kross with Scarlett versus Tommaso Ciampa. Kross is just here to throw around Ciampa. And, you know, I remember seeing Ciampa on Raw, and I forget who he was against, but there was the realization in my head of, huh, he's smaller than I thought. Because, you know, when you see him in a program with Gargano, he's the bigger of the two individuals. Well, Karrion Kross is a big dude. And Ciampa looked small, and Karrion Kross treated him like he was small. Man, some of these tosses onto his neck, they really threw me.
I know. When he threw him onto the apron there, it was just like, oh, please, just be nice. It's ridiculous. But it's funny that you bring up when he went to Raw. When they went to Raw as a tag team, I think that's where it killed the allure of him being a powerhouse, because you saw how small he actually looks beside some of these giants on the main roster, or quote unquote main roster, if you will.
Kross tosses Ciampa around like a ragdoll, as I was saying. Eventually, Ciampa gets the advantage and uses his speed to hit a series of running knees, but that doesn't last long. He goes for the fairy tale ending, and Kross gets out, tosses him aside, and Kross gets Ciampa in the cross jacket, and Ciampa passes out. I mean, talk about putting a rocket launcher behind Karrion Kross. He is a guy that they're definitely sending right up. I don't know if he's main event because it's Cole that's holding the title, and that would be weird here, but he is just ripping through people, and I don't even know who he goes through next. Maybe Balor?
Yeah, that's yeah. Like, who else would there be? Will he, like, go after Keith Lee or Dominik Dijakovic, maybe, or something like that? But he needs to beat a couple more people before he actually gets into the main event picture, I think. But even though he looked fantastic in this match, and I really don't like him because he looks like a guy that used to beat me up in high school, so that doesn't help.
It can have that effect. Oh, I guess it does. Yeah, he's definitely a heel for you in real life and on the screen. We've got Robert Stone, who is still on a bender. He's hanging out. His life is ruined. He's hanging out by the NXT sign. And then Renee is in the watch lounge. She'll be interviewing Triple H later. And then we get to the NXT women's title, the triple threat tonight. Charlotte, who's your champion, going in versus Io versus Rhea Ripley. Dave, you know, I said to you midway through when we were trading messages that I was under the impression that by this going in the main event, yes, it meant Charlotte was losing. I was under the impression that it was going to be Rhea Ripley that was taking the title back. I was wrong. And is this the right idea here to give the title to Io as opposed to putting it back on Ripley and getting her win back?
This one, there was something off to me about this whole match. And we talked a little bit about it at the top of the show. And it just felt like they were really pushing Io Shirai. And then you got into how Vince McMahon is controlling the crowd as well, too. Like, when they started chanting Io Shirai, it just didn't feel right. And it didn't feel like there was any nice flow to this match. And I think they were just really pushing her as the face, the new shiny toy, if you will. But it irked me a little bit, and I don't know what that was.
Well, what I didn't like, I mean, I actually liked this match. I thought it was action-packed, and the women were just going at it, and all three kept up a great pace the entire match. But what really threw it for me was the finish, and I think the finish might have been botched. So what happened here as far as the finish goes is, and we played it off the top of the show, Charlotte hit a spear on Rhea. She gets the figure four. She goes for the figure eight. At this time, Io runs up onto the top rope, hits a moonsault on Rhea, and gets the pin. I think Charlotte was supposed to disconnect from the figure four because you really saw her trying to pull the legs away, but she was unable to. But if this is the case, if Charlotte has already made contact with the opponent first, then Charlotte is the first one there to be getting the pin. So why is the pin then credited to Io when Charlotte is still making contact?
Oh, I think you're getting a little bit too technical there, Jason.
No, this is the same. This is the same finish that happened with Jake Atlas, Rockstar Spud, and why am I blanking on his name? The other one that was involved in the program.
Why did you do this to me?
No, we just did it. Okay, so you know what I'm talking about here, right?
Yes.
So, but it's the same type of thing when they were doing that. Or they did that finish where you had an armbar that was put on by, who was it?
Time Splitter. The Time Splitter.
Yeah. Why are we blanking on this? I'm going to be on the air. Oh, my goodness. And the Time Splitters tag team is, of course, Alex Shelley and, why am I blanking on it? This is the worst, David.
I know.
Kushida. Kushida is the name that we're looking for. Yeah, so it was the same thing with Kushida, who already had the pin in place, and then Spud managed to get the pin on Jake Atlas, and Atlas was pinned. But in actuality, Kushida should have been credited with that. And if you look at this, I think Charlotte Flair should have been credited with this, and I'm wondering if she was supposed to detach.
Yeah, it did look a little, but that looked sick with the way that she hit Rhea Ripley. It looked like it took her right in the face. It was actually quite scary. When I saw that hit, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't, it looked like it hurt a lot.
Well, I thought overall the match was good. I mean, I was entertained by the pay-per-view. I don't think to the level that you were, but this seemed to be a real favorite for you.
Well, it was just so much fun to do again, like to have a nice, easy watchable pay-per-view. It's been so long since I didn't have to sit through such a long one. So we'll see what happens next week as well, though.
Yeah. Well, Dave, next week, of course, we get treated to the greatest match in history.
How terrible is that song they played?
That's from The Greatest Showman. It's from the soundtrack. This is the greatest show.
It was so bad.
It is.
Because they have all this doom and gloom and about, the greatest match ever. And then this kicks in and I'm like, wait a minute. There's no overlap there. It took me out.
All right, let's take a break and then we're going to come on back. We'll welcome your phone calls and we'll also talk about the Rockstar Spud angle. It was controversial this week. Well, what did you think? Was it controversial in a good way or a bad way? We'll play a clip and talk about it next. It's Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio. Thanks for listening to the free version of Sunday Night's Main Event. Well, that was just hour one, but if you want hour two, then please sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/SNMEradio. It's just $1 a week. You get the full 2 hour show, commercial free, and along with that, all of our bonus podcasts that include The Midweek Markout, All Elite Weekly, Sunday Morning Trivia, and Dan Lavransky's Music Show. All of that comes to you for just $1 a week. So go get it right now. Patreon.com/SNMEradio.